You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Micah Parsons putting the pressure on the Cowboys, and Nick Harris, Star Telegram, has a scoop, fist pumping here on the Fan Cam, the final hour of the week here on the morning show. Sean and RJ back next week. I'm Eric Chiafalo with the G-Bag Nation. We have Bobby Bell in the mix. We got Peyton producing. We have Carter running the Fan Cam, Twitch and YouTube. It's great to have you in. Thanks for waking up with us. And now we head to the D&M Leasing Hotline and welcome in our buddy Nick Harris of the Star Telegram. Covers the Cowboys, and you're all over this Micah stuff. Nick, how you doing?
Doing well, fellas. How are y'all?
Doing great, dude. Doing great. Outside of the fact that the Eagles are going to be doing some parading today, that's frustrating. But I like what Mike is doing. What are some of the things that he has said trying to put some pressure on the Cowboys, trying to copy and paste what the Eagles have done?
Yeah, he was speaking at a Make-A-Wish event yesterday in Grapevine at Great Wolf Lodge. And afterward, he was asked about, you know, the Eagles and is there any, you know, extra competitiveness that he has seeing them win a Super Bowl. He kind of rattled on and then eventually went into, yeah, I would like to see us be more aggressive this offseason. You know, we see these teams like the 49ers, they go out and add talent in the offseason. The Eagles, obviously, the Ravens, et cetera. He said, I don't want to sit back and watch other teams build and us stay the same. And basically kind of urging the front office to, hey, we need some pieces around us, not only outside of the building, but we also need to retain our own, is what he said. He's got, you know, an eye on Osa Digizua, who's going to be a duo for free agency, Chauncey Golston, Carl Lawson, more so of his pass rushing teammates. But, yeah, certainly some desire by Micah Parsons for this team to be more active in free agency than they've historically been.
You know, and Nick, I don't think anybody anticipates them to be massive players in free agency, but you point out the part there of just bringing back their own. So last year there was a mass exodus of their depth. Is that something where even if the Cowboys aren't going to play in the free agent waters heavily, do you think the Cowboys at least look at it and go like, okay, maybe we can't let all the Dante Fowlers, all the Jonathan Hankins, all the Dorrance Armstrongs, we can't let all these types of players go. We're going to have to be a little more aggressive in terms of retaining depth.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to have to be the case. I mean, let's just look at that defensive line, for example, right? If you let all those guys walk, then you're looking at a roster that only has Micah Parsons, Mozzie Smith, Tyrus Wheat. I'm trying to think of other guys who would still – Marshawn Nealand. I mean, there's mm-hmm. not much depth there already, and the depth that you do have is young, aside from Micah Parsons. So they have to be able to invest on a couple of those guys. I think Osa Digizua should obviously be priority number one. There was a projection the other day that had him at 3 years, $63 million, which would be wild. $21 million average annual value. It makes sense. This is a defensive tackle who's got some pass rush knacks, and he's really talented coming out of that three-tech position. He's going to be highly coveted on the open market. If the Cowboys want to retain him, they're definitely going to have to pony up and pay a pretty penny for it. But not only him, Chauncey Golston, I think, should be deserving of a return. Carl Lawson, I think, should get added to another one-year contract for what he did last season, coming off the practice squad, eventually making him his way onto the 53 and you know, creating the pass rush presence that he had. But then you can look on the offensive side of the ball. You got Rico Dowdle. What do you do at the running back position? You know, Zach Martin, if you expect him to to move on? Do you go add more offensive line and free agency? There's going to be a lot that has to pan out. But I think defensive line more than anything is probably where that conversation comes into play.
Nick, you know, you talk about the three technique defensive tackle position there that Osa's occupied. Is bringing in a guy like Eberflus, who is so heavy on the three technique and that being such an important position in his defense, did that boost potentially the chances that Osa Odighizuwa comes back? Or does it just maybe change the Cowboys' perspective on, okay, well, Osa was always going to be more expensive. Maybe we need to get more creative. Maybe we need to look at more of Golston inside doing some three technique work. Maybe we need to prioritize this higher in the draft. Is that going to have to be a bigger focus just by the nature of hiring Eberflus?
Yeah, I think the position as a whole is going to be a bigger focus, I think, is what you were asking there. Chauncey Golston, in my opinion, is not a three tech. Keep that guy on the edge and let him use his power off the edge. We saw that finally get used to 100% maximization this past season, and we saw what that did for Chauncey Golston. I say keep him there. I wouldn't try him again inside, just because, again, he was limited at that spot. But if you can't bring Osa Odighizuwa back, then you're looking at this really talent-rich defensive tackle class in the draft, and you're probably going and getting one or two guys. You definitely need depth in that middle. I mean, you're letting a guy like Linval Joseph go as well, who's a veteran, didn't play a whole lot when it comes to snap count, but he was really important when it came to rotating in and out off the field with Mozzie Smith. So you might need another one tech there to not only help out Mozzie, but potentially compete for his job. Do you feel comfortable with that one tech spot in the middle of that defensive line? And then that's before we even get to three tech. And if you don't bring back Osa Odighizuwa, then you're probably looking at a guy like Anais Peebles out of Virginia Tech. That's a really interesting pass rushing three tech who showed some run game knacks at the Senior Bowl. You can look at some other guys as well for that spot. I think this is a really interesting defensive tackle class, and if they want to add young talent to that spot, then this is certainly the class to do it. But it would be a lot easier to fill that hole when you have Osa Odighizuwa there to lead that group.
Nick Harris, Star Telegram, with us here on The Fan. So these comments from Micah, and he's trying to apply some pressure to the Cowboys, call to action, let's spend some money and let's get more talent in here. How do you think that lands with the Joneses, and will they have any type of reaction in terms of, you know what, yeah, maybe we should listen to Micah?
Yeah, that's where it's you would like to get the other side of the equation and want to know what the other side of the coin looks like. But one thing I can say is that Micah and Jerry Jones have a really good relationship, and it's only gotten better since the conclusion of the season. In that same interview, I asked him, hey, how did that talk with him at the Cotton Bowl go, where he went up to Jerry's suite and they stayed in that suite until about 2 hours after the game had concluded, just talking. And they weren't even really talking about contract stuff, because obviously he's due up for an extension. It was more so just talking about the state of the team, the future, what it could look like, what's his view of it, his vision of it. Obviously, they talked to coaching staff a little bit, and that was before the coaching staff was hired. But they have a good enough relationship to where if Micah says something, such as, hey, Jerry, we need to go out and get free agents, then Jerry will at least listen. Now, will he act? That's the other question that, you know, will probably have to be answered once March 12th rolls around and the start of free agency. In my opinion, I think it's going to take a little bit more. Talking to Jerry Jones on the red carpet last week in New Orleans, it sounds like that their top priority is getting Micah that extension rather than figuring out what to do in free agency. Now, if they got that extension done before March 12th, then there would be a little bit more flexibility to do some things in free agency. And, it's definitely been Micah's prerogative to get that done sooner rather than later. Asking him about that yesterday again, he said, yeah, there's been no progress, but I'm confident we're going to get something done. So, when does that come? Does that come before March 12th? Does that come before training camp? You know, that there's a lot of questions that go into that. Micah is at least making it seem in the public view that the ball is in Jerry's court at this point.
Is the Micah contract the number one thing that you're going to be trying to get the scoop on when you head to the combine in Indianapolis? What's the top one or two things that you're going to be trying to chase down?
Yeah, that's a good one. Also, just draft strategy, overall draft strategy. What exactly are they going to be going after on those first couple of days? And do they have an idea of what that could look like?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Already before free agency rolls around, are there a couple of positions maybe that they are looking at in free agency? I mean, I know last year didn't have a whole lot when it came to being active in that department, but they did go out and get an Eric Kendricks at linebacker that was certainly a nice veteran presence to have. Is there a similar type of add that they would be looking to make this year at a specific position group? But yeah, combine's going to be interesting. Sounds like Brian Schottenheimer is going to have an open presser at the combine, so there's going to be even more to grab off of him. Obviously, the Jerry interview is always a good one in Indianapolis, so it sounds like we're going to get quite a bit down there.
Nick, this 3-4 weeks now that Brian Schottenheimer's been the head coach of the Cowboys, just from the press conference optics, the coaching hires, different things like that, how would you grade this first month or so for Schottenheimer, just based obviously on the things that he can control and some of these coaching staff hires he's made?
Yeah, I'll say this with the preface, is that I don't think there should be any concerns about what Brian Schottenheimer can do off the field, and I think that includes building a staff. I mean, this guy was a 25-year-plus assistant in the NFL, and he knows what good staffs look like, and he knows what bad staffs look like. He's been on both, and I think he's taken that experience and really applied it to putting this staff around him, and I really like, specifically on the offensive side of the ball, the influx of college blood, bringing in Connor Riley from Kansas State to coach the offensive line, Junior Adams from Oregon to coach the wide receivers, toying around with some running back names, such as Tashard Choice and Rashad Samples. But the influx of that college blood, I think, will just add additional opinion in that offensive room. Schottenheimer is a guy who loves a collaborative effort on the offensive side. Sure, he's going to be the one calling the plays on Sundays, but it's going to be a collaborative effort during the week. And he's certainly got that in mind whenever he's been building this staff. It's going to be an interesting staff. I'm very curious to get to talk to them whenever that comes, whenever their availability comes around. There's a lot of interesting personalities, and I think there's a lot of key development guys that have developed at previous spots that could really help out this squad. But if you're asking for a grade at this point, again, it's really tough to put a grade on it before they touch the field. And I can't give an A if they haven't touched the field. So I'll go ahead and give it a strong B. Just I think Schottenheimer's done everything that he can do here in this first month to show that, you know, he's ready for this task.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like the staff that he's building right now. But what happened with Tashard Choice?
Yeah, that's a situation where, you know, Tashard was wanting a little bit more money than the Cowboys were willing to offer at that position. And, you know, that's philosophy. And, you know, some philosophies are different from other teams. And obviously Detroit Lions, they said, hey, you know, we'll pony up and pay that price. We'll pay him more to bring him over to Detroit. And not only was it an opportunity for a raise for Tashard Choice, but also an opportunity to reunite with Jahmyr Gibbs. He coached him at Georgia Tech before he transferred to Alabama. So it's a fun opportunity for Tashard Choice. But if you had told me before the offseason that Tashard Choice would be taking an NFL running back's job, I'd be like, man, finally he comes to Dallas. But it's just not the case.
Talking with Nick Harris here from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram on Sean and RJ on 105 through the Fan. Okay, Nick, you mentioned draft strategy a little bit there. Cowboys picking at 12 right now. Obviously, a lot still to come. We haven't even gotten through the combine yet. They just finalized the list of invites this week. But as you look ahead to the draft, your betting favorite right now for pick number 12.
Yeah, I've been sticking with this Genty idea just because I don't think Genty's going to be there at 12. And I think it's going to open up a huge amount of possibilities if Genty is picked. And if Genty is picked before 12, I think this team moves back a few spots and picks up some extra picks. They could certainly use it. Well, I mean, we'll have a better frame of that once free agency finishes up. And again, there's a lot of time between now and the draft. We got a 2 full months and some change. But if Genty's not there at 12, I bet this team moves back a couple of spots just because that 10 to 25 range of players in this draft is so close together, in my opinion. And I feel like they could still get really good value for a guy at 18 or 19 that they would be able to pick there instead of reaching at 12.
Hey, so Eric Chiafalo is a well-known Ashton Genty hater. He says that he's
settled down.
He said he's no different than Tim Hightower is basically what he called him. Just in general, for Eric or for anybody else who says you cannot pick a running back at 12, which I totally understand the thought process there, no shade. But for those who say that, what is your best pitch on this is why Ashton Genty is a different question for the Cowboys at 12 and why you would make that pick?
Well, I will preface that I think I'm probably under more of Eric's line of thinking.
You are, yeah.
Specifically in this draft class, because there are so many talented running backs that you can go get a bona fide starter on day two or even day three. There were a couple of guys on day three last year that turned into starters. I think there's going to be even more this year. But if you were making the case for Ashton Genty at 12, I mean, this guy's different. He's a playmaker. He not only gets the muddy yards, we need you to go get 4 or 5 yards and take off time of possession, but he's also that big home run hitter. I think if you took all of his averages and made it into baseball terms, he won the Triple Crown last year as far as, you know, getting those short yardage, hard earned runs, and then also those big home run 50 plus yards, double digit carries that had more than 50 plus yards last year, touchdown machine, and he's really efficient out of the backfield. Boise State did not use him a whole lot out of the backfield because of their offensive system, but he has that ability in his bag going back to his high school days at Frisco Lone Star, where he had over 800 yards receiving in his senior year. I mean, this guy, he has a developed route tree out of the backfield. He can really make things difficult for you. I would call him a decent pass protector. I think he can get better in that department, but I think there is room to grow there. But you look at the rest of his game, he's an elite back that is worthy of a top 15 pick for sure. I think if you're just talking about it from the Cowboys perspective, you got too many needs, and I think you should probably go get a back on day two or day three. But hey, if they went ahead and pulled the trigger on Genty at 12, I don't think it would cause a huge rockets from the fan base.
Spot on, Nick Harris, Star Telegram. Yeah, I love the trade down idea. If you can find a dance partner right now as it stands today, I mean, give me this Membu fella from Missouri. He's your right guard. He's your Zach Martin replacement. Round 2, 44. Could we get the big man from the Texas D-line, Alfred Collins, building in the trenches on both sides of the ball? That would be my ideal first two picks right now as it stands today.
Yeah, that would be fun. Membu is a name that's starting to generate a lot of buzz as far as a top 15 pick. I wonder what combine looks like for him and if he's able to solidify that spot. Obviously, pro day will be big for him too. But again, like that 10 to 25 range, you will see so many names get thrown in mocks at 12 for the Cowboys just because of how wide that range is right now and how close together that they are.
Nick Harris, who is the favorite Dallas Cowboys reporter from our buddy Zach in Frisco, according to the text right now. Nick, you're a beast. We appreciate the time, man. Enjoy your weekend.
Yeah, I really appreciate it, fellas. Thank you, guys.
Yes, sir. There he goes. All right. It is the morning show. Sean and RJ back next week. Bobby in studio. Peyton producing. I'm Eric Chiafalo with the G-Bag Nation. You have a football and barbecue opportunity tomorrow. I'll give you the details on that. A little football's finest for you. Schefter's top five most interesting teams of the offseason. Shador Sanders laughing at a mock draft. And what are we doing with Travis Hunter? That's next right here on The Fan.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.